Our virtual tour in the year 1930 brings us interestingly to the Church of Ireland chapel that still survives on the grounds of the old hospital, the old part of the hospital campus, the St. Fintan's part in Port Laoise. It's still occasionally used, although there isn't the need for ministry to the kind of very long stay patients in that part of the building that there would have been in the past. It was an interesting idea that there should be a Roman Catholic and a Church of Ireland chapel, separate buildings connected to each other, almost with a kind of common vestry area separating the one from the other, with the Roman Catholic Church much bigger to the left of the front door, the Church of Ireland one to the right. And there were similar chapels in St. Dymphna's in Carlow and also in St. Canice's Hospital in Kilkenny, which have ceased to be needed and which in fact were closed and put to other creative uses during my years here. But the slight anomaly of the one in Port Laoise remains. But this is an opportunity to think of those who, particularly in the context of psychiatric care, were very long-term institutionalized patients in the past, especially for whom the hospital became almost their only home. And we also think in changed times of those who continue to work alongside medical staff in advancing Christ's ministry of healing, particularly in the context of increasingly professionalized chaplaincy services, and of course in the midst of all the demands upon that of COVID and the inherent stresses. And we remember too those senior members of the community in long-term residential care for whom access to their families has been of late so difficult. 1930 in national life. Not least thanks to Yeats's famous speech of 1925 in the Shannon, which I've mentioned, the one about being no petty people, the Free State was careful to cherish the minority and be seen to do so in certain ways. And so came in 1930, the fascinating case of one Miss Letitia Dunbar Harrison, who was a young Protestant Trinity graduate who was duly recommended by the Local Appointments Commission to be the County Mayo Librarian. And that was the county, as it happened, with the smallest Protestant minority. There was a furore over this appointment locally about her academic background and the kind of books she might be giving out to impressionable people. I don't know what dangers to faith and morals based on her education in Trinity they thought she might be disseminating. Anyway, the County Council rejected the nomination, and the Minister for Local Government, who had a duty to uphold it, dissolved the entire council and confirmed Ms. Dunbar Harrison in office. The atmosphere around her, as you can imagine, remained turbulent, and after the point had been made ere long, as it were, to give her the benefits of a quieter professional life, she was moved to a position of librarianship in the Department of Defence. Not long afterwards, she married a Methodist minister. She had to resign from the department because in those days, people in the public service had to resign upon marriage, and she lived to a great age. And I always think it's amazing that in the public campaign to address one injustice, namely the attempt to remove her from office in Mayo because of her religious persuasion, they didn't actually see the inconsistency of not addressing another injustice, namely that some years later she was obliged, like many other women of her day, to resign from the public service upon marriage. It's amazing how one can be far-seeing in one eye and blind in the other. And so it continued for many years thereafter in relation to the marriage bar.